All right, hey there, Darren Garman, and we're going to get the whiteboard out today, and we're going to talk about the E word. The E word, which is the dreaded emotion. Right? Emotions. And we're talking about emotions and investing. As you can see, I am, again, depending on how many videos you've watched and what order you've watched them in, or if you've watched them in any order, or if you've watched them in any kind of sequence, you may have an idea what I'm talking about. You may not, but I am wearing my proud purple today, again, as in honor of our Northern Iowa Purple and Gold Panthers and their fantastic job at the NCAA wrestling tournament. For those of you that are wrestling fans and like to watch it, pretty good tournament to watch. And the secret to that, I think, from what I'm seeing, is the finals are great matches. And you and I had a finalist, and you actually have a national champion at 184. But the it's the preliminary rounds, you know, the quarterfinals, the semifinal matches, where a lot of the action really is. Finals have them too, but I think more of the excitement's in those preliminary rounds. But anyway, I digress from what we're talking about today, but that's why you're seeing me in my purple attire today. So, let's talk about emotions. Speaking of which, a lot of emotions in wrestling, and to be able to get to that level and to, you know, be a national champion, or at least be an All-American, is just crazy with emotions. But we're going to talk about emotions, not as it relates to wrestling or sports. We're going to talk about the thing that I see a lot, the thing that I talk to investors a lot about, directly or indirectly, and it's that word right there, emotions, and how it plays into your investing and what you need to be thinking about, okay? What you need to be thinking about when it comes to emotions. So let's start out by... talking about a company that we all know, and depending on when you're watching this, this will be either new news or old news, but the company more than likely is still going to resonate with you, and the name of that company is Boeing. Okay? Boeing. What is Boeing in the business of? Primarily jets, aircraft, making aircraft, right? And as I'm recording this, I think they're the number one supplier in the world. I believe they are. I think Airbus is up there too. But, I mean, these guys make most of the aircraft that's out there. And they have thousands and thousands and thousands of orders year after year. Big airplanes, small airplanes, etc. So as I'm recording this, something has happened. They've had two crashes, okay? Two of their planes have crashed, and it's the 737 MAX. Get out of the way there so you can read that, 737 MAX. So unless you've been living in a cave, you've heard about this. You've heard about the two crashes that happened about 6 months apart, same plane, and they're still doing some investigating to find out what it could be, why those two crashed, pilot error, is it the plane? So there's a lot of suspicion that the plane's doing something. There's a software issue somewhere. I mean, based on what I've been reading and researching, it's kind of down to that right now. And again, by the time you watch this video, this all could have changed. But as of right now, this is where it's at. Okay. So what has happened with Boeing stock since this has happened? What do you think has happened with Boeing stock since these two planes have crashed? What do you think has happened to the stock? Well, you know what I'm going to say. Stock has gone down, right? Why has the stock gone down? Because of this word right here. Because of emotion, right? That's why. Not really any analytical reason. Not really, I mean, logically you could say, well, yeah, but they've had two crashes. That means that their company's in trouble. Are you kidding me? These guys supply most of the world with their planes, and we're talking about one plane here. So do you think that what's happened is really really at overall over the next 2, 3, 5 years going to affect this company? I would say no, it's not. They are the company in this space, okay? There's really one other, maybe a couple, few smaller ones, but this is it. And we're talking about one plane, we're talking about two crashes, and again, horrific tragedy. I don't wanna come across like I'm not sensitive to that, I am. But I'm thinking again here, this work. That's why people are selling the stock. Is simply because of that. Oh my God, bad news, we better sell. Right? That's what's going on there, for sure. Okay? The market this week, stock market went down as much as like 400 some points, close to 500 points. Went back up and then kind of finished in the middle. Why does that happen? Again, I know you'll agree, emotion. That's why it happens. Okay? And here's the deal. What you'll find is many investors, and maybe you're one of them, make their decisions more emotionally than they do logically. Right? Emotional information, especially when you hear this. Hey, did you hear about XYZ stock or XYZ IPO? No, what's going on? Well, you know, here's what's happening, and here's where they're going, and here's what you're seeing, and oh my God, this is what's happening. And hey, are you invested in XYZ company? Yeah, I got some money, you know. Oh my God, did you hear about this? Here's what's going on there. Here's what's happening. All of a sudden, we get emotion involved in it, and we start making stupid decisions, pretty much. Right? Heaven forbid, then what happens is we start thinking about this, stewing about it, concentrating on it, reading, maybe watching more Cramer than we used to, you know, maybe watching more CNBC than we used to, maybe doing more research than we used to, looking at publications, looking at, why are we doing all this? Because of emotion. Okay? The biggest killer to most people's investments and them not reaching their potential with their investments is emotion. I'll give you a quick example. So I was with some other entrepreneurs, and we had Ken Fisher come in and speak not too long ago. So Ken Fisher runs, and he's the CEO of Fisher Investments. Okay, Fisher Investments is one of the most successful investment firms with hundreds of billions of dollars under management. And so the guy knows what he's doing. He's been doing it his whole life. I mean, you talk to him. I mean, he's like super analytical, super into this. He's not talking theory. He's not talking broad strokes. I mean, the guy knows what the hell he's talking about. Okay? So you talk to Ken Fisher, and what happens? Here's what he says. Exactly. He says, too many people sell at the wrong time and buy at the wrong time. They make their investments and their investment decisions, the majority of them don't reach their potential because of this simple fact. They sell at the wrong time and they buy at the wrong time. Okay? And they usually sell when it's at its lowest. So if your mutual fund's diving, if your stock is diving, and you've lost money, what are you typically going to do? Holy shit, I gotta sell, okay? When most of the time, that might not be the right thing to do. Same here. The stock market's at an all-time high. We just talked about it going down quite a bit, ups and downs a little bit. Stock market's at an all-time high right now. A lot of stocks are at their all-time high. Do you think now is a great time to buy? I would argue no, right? So, why does this happen? Again, you know what I'm going to say? Emotion. Here's the main thing you need to understand. And I'm going to talk to you about how you can prevent this. Investments don't care that you own them. Okay? So I want you to think about this for just a second. Investments don't care that you own them. We like to think they care. I mean, we're invested in this. We're in this, right? Whether it's retirement funds, 401k, IRA, regular money, we're invested in this, right? So I've got some mutual fund money in a mutual fund that's basically through my church. It's affiliated with my church, and it's a company that's affiliated with my church, and you know, it's a long story, but that's where I have some mutual fund money right now. Okay? I keep thinking, I gotta stop myself. I'm invested in this, right? I'm invested in this through my church and et cetera, et cetera. I'm invested in this. The stocks, the bonds, whatever they buy in the mutual fund could care less. The investment doesn't care. I care. But just because I care has no outcome on the performance of the investment. It doesn't care. Okay? And too many of us, including me, tend to think the investment cares because we're in it. I mean, how many times do you talk about what you're invested in with emotion and with some a little bit of passion? And it's not like it's your small business. That's a different story. If you own a business, you're in it. When it comes to your investments, you're not. And your investments don't care. Okay? So how do you make decisions that are not emotional, that keep you away from the cookie jar, so to speak? And by that I mean, you know, dabbling here, taking money here, moving money there, moving here, moving there, based on ups and downs and what you're thinking of the day, what your thoughts of the day. How do you kind of get control of yourself? Now, when I say that, I'm not coming across and telling you that you don't have control. I'm not saying you're undisciplined, okay? I'm not saying you're being foolish. I'm not saying that, but let's face it. All of us have this emotional stuff going on when we invest. And how many of us will decide, let's move an investment here, let's move an investment there, let's do this based on the emotions we're feeling, the emotions of the day, of the week, or of the month, right? Here's a couple of pieces of advice I would give you. Number one, I think it makes sense from an emotional standpoint to be involved in an illiquid investment, right? There's not a lot of liquidity. So let's take a look at apartment communities and apartment properties and real estate for just a second. Real estate is an illiquid investment. Okay, so my partners, if you're one of my investment partners or any of my investment partners, can't call me right after this video and say, hey, Darren, I want to get my money out of it. Can you send me a check tomorrow? Can't do it. The money's invested in the real estate. Now, is there a time where we'll do that? Yeah. Is there a process that we'll go through to do that? Sure. It's not like their money's locked up forever. It's not like they can never, ever, ever, ever get it. But they just can't get it when it's super convenient for them. Right? And emotions play on convenience, don't they? So you can call up your mutual fund manager. You can call your stockbroker. You can do all that and make whatever changes you want to make, right? But you can't when it comes to owning investment real estate, okay? Here's another reason to think about that, okay? It's also, I'm going to talk about this in a podcast coming up more. It's also forced savings, isn't it? Forced savings. So here's what I mean by that. How many of us get emotional about something that's not an investment? Maybe a new truck, maybe a new set of golf clubs, maybe all that spring break vacation we want to take, or that European vacation we want to take, maybe that new shiny boat we want to buy. Think about that. How many times do those things come up? A lot. Well, for example, real estate, apartment communities especially, is a forced savings plan. You can't get at it. Again, you can through prescribed processes and ways of getting cashed out of these apartment properties. But you know, it's a liquid. You can't just call me up. You just can't. If you own your own apartment property right now and you decide you want to buy a boat, you can't just sell it and take your money out tomorrow, right? So it's illiquid in a forced savings plan that makes sure it's hard for you to get the money. Okay, think about this. If you've got investment money in a money market fund at your bank, it's pretty damn easy to go there and get it, right? But if you've got it in 160 unit apartment property or 100 unit apartment property or a flagship fund, you can't get it, right? You can't get it. And it forces you to bypass that emotional stuff, right? It forces you to deal with whatever emotions you've got going on with your investing, right? Forces you to do that, but it also forces you to not dip into the cookie jar, move the cookies around, move the chairs around on the deck of the ship, okay? Just based on, oh my God, my kicking in, this guy's doing this, this guy says do this, this guy says do that, here's what I'm gonna do. Right? Now, when it comes to real estate, as I said, there are ways to get money out. Okay, so for example, if you're in our flagship fund, there's 2 months during the year where you basically say, hey, Darren, I'd like to get out. Okay, I'd like to cash out and would like to move on. You have the option of doing that. Most investors don't, but you have the option of doing that. Okay? And there's a process we go through in order for you to do that, which is another story for another time, but you can do that. The second way you can do that, okay, is sell the property, right? It's obvious. Okay? You can also refinance, pull some money out in another loan. I mean, those are some ways to do it. So you can be cashed out, or this is actually bought out. So you can be bought out, sell the property, refinance the property. So a lot of times you hear the gurus out there in real estate, a lot of times they'll brag about their big distributions that they have. Well, the main reason they do that is because they'll refinance the property and then they'll take that borrowed money and then they'll distribute it to their partners. Now what they don't tell their partners is now their balance sheet starts to look a lot different and they don't have as much net worth as they did before because they've taken on much more in liabilities. Another story for another time there, right? But bottom line is, you want to get out of the emotional roller coaster. You want to not even go down that path of possibly being influenced by any emotion that you may have, your spouse may have, your kids, your buddy, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, whatever. Find an illiquid investment, get your money in. Okay? It's a forced savings plan. Even though, if you're illiquid, especially in real estate, there's still ways of getting your money out. And here's the third thing you really need to pay attention to. Okay? The number three, and this will be my last one. Okay? It's really a combination of two things. What are the demographics and the trends telling you? What are the demographic information and the trends telling you? So what this basically does is it makes you think logically about this. It makes you take a step back and think logically about this before you start getting emotional. So, demographically, what's going on demographically? This isn't hard to figure out. With the investments that you're involved in, what's going on demographically? So, two quick examples. One, apartment communities, right? We know that the trend for tenants to want to rent apartments is going to continue to go up. We know that. Housing continues to decline. We know it will continue to decline. Interest from investors to own apartment communities continues to go up. This is the demographic. We know this because we look at the demographics, right? Trends, all right? What are the trends? Well, again, we know we have more and more tenants wanting to rent when we know we have more and more buyers wanting to buy. And we know housing is going down and is not the American dream that it used to be. Okay. And by the way, you can, this is stuff that you don't have to do a ton of research on. You don't have to watch CNBC for, you know, 10 days in a row without any sleep. This is stuff you can look at and figure out. So let's use Boeing for a second. Demographically, what's going on with Boeing? They sell thousands and thousands of planes. And they'll continue to sell thousands. By the way, I don't have any financial interest in Boeing, by the way. But they're going to sell thousands and thousands of planes. That's the demographic. Any trends? Well, a little more caution on probably the behalf of the folks, the airlines buying those planes. That's the trend. There's probably going to be a little bit more cost associated with that, a little bit more time between orders. But at the end of the day, are these airlines going to need orders? What's the trend for air travel? Is it going up? Less people traveling by air or more people traveling by air? More. So we know what the trends are. Demographically, we know what's going on. Trends are going on. So, am I going to sell Boeing stock? Probably not. Probably not. Okay. So, what's going on? I'll write the three things up here again. So, it's avoiding emotion. The three things to avoid it. Number one, look for an illiquid investment. And I'm not talking about investing everything you've got into it. I'm not talking about putting all your eggs in that one basket. But I'm talking about getting some of your money strategically moved in a place that's illiquid. You can't react on emotion to get at it. Okay? That's number one. Number two. Forced savings plan. And it's kind of the same as illiquid investment, but it does force you to put money into something, forces you to do that without having that access. You know, a buddy of mine used to teach a course to chiropractors years and years ago. And one of the things he recommended they do was establish what they called a wealth account. And the wealth account is where you took excess cash, you put it there for investment. So all the excess cash you get from your business, profit, it's a part of that profit, you put it away in a wealth account, and that's what you use to invest, right? Well, that sounds good in theory, but guess what started happening? They started to pilfer the wealth account when that opportunity to buy a boat came up. Well, a boat is an investment in my mental state. Well, really? Golf clubs, golf trip, new car. Well, that is an investment in me. Well, no, it's not. Okay. So, forced savings plan. Okay. Third, trends and demographics. What's going on with trends and demographics in the area you're thinking about, in the area you're in, or in the investment area you're considering? What's going on? Okay, what is happening? So you want to avoid having emotion. Ransack your investing. You want to have emotion. Not put the brakes on, or there another way to say it is, if emotion is putting the brakes, or the potential of emotion, putting the brakes on the potential of what you could be achieving with your investing, three things to seriously consider in order to change that. Okay? And I think what you'll find is a lot of the more successful investors have, if not one or two of these, all three of these things going on. Okay? So, I hope this has been helpful. We'll make you think about this a little bit as you go through your investing, especially for the rest of the year, especially as we approach an election year. I mean, we're already hearing stuff, right? It's already starting to bubble up. You ain't seen nothing yet, by the way. This is important, especially with what's going to be happening here, not only today, but over the next 2 years. Okay. Hey, before I sign off, I want to make one quick reminder, a crass commercial for something I think you're going to want to be interested in and involved in. Okay, but it's one more reminder. Our Heartland Flagship Fund, okay, where you have the opportunity to own your very own apartment community. As a matter of fact, you'll own over 700 apartment units, okay, and also some commercial investment property. Okay, over 700 units, flagship fund. Partners and I own over 700 units. We also own some commercial real estate. Your window for that closes in about 2 to 3 weeks. Okay, so many of you have contacted me about information. You've probably received it. Some of you have been sitting on the fence a little bit. Flagship fund, you own as an active owner. You have active ownership in this. So you get all the active owner benefits of owning 700 apartment units plus commercial property without doing any kind of management, any kind of landlord stuff. It's totally hands off. But you get all the active owner benefits as if you're like at the properties day after day. Okay, we have over 200, actually, right as of right now, we have 236 partners, investors from all over the United States that are involved in the fund. And there's a reason there's so many, okay? There's a reason there's so many. And so, if this emotion thing is a possible issue for you, if what you're seeing coming on the horizon, especially over the next 2 or 3 years, with volatility in the marketplace, effect of political, social, economic things on the horizon, and the possibility of the R word, which is recession, this is the place to be. Remember the trends. Remember the demographics. Okay? So, Heartland Flagship Fund, your window, you got a 2 or 3 week window, and dealing with me on this is pretty easy. Okay? There is no obligation. If you have not gotten your information on this yet, just ask for it. All you have to do is email me at darren@heartlandinvestmentpartners.com. darren@heartlandinvestmentpartners.com. Email me this. My staff will send you the information, the package, the prospectus, so you can take a look at what's going on, what you can expect, what we've been up to, and we'll also send you our property catalog, okay? So you know what you're going to be investing in. You know the properties, pictures of them, information on the properties, it's there. Okay, so there's a reason why we've got this many partners involved with us in the fund. That's my contact information. Get that, get your catalog, and start making some smart decisions on your investing, especially as the next couple years approach. All right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you. Bye-bye.